Now, Graham, you were interested talking about the SMS technology and the early warning systems that they were talking about in this report.
Yeah, well, communications is something that that they have talked about. They've talked about the language being used and all that sort of stuff in the interim report. That's got a lot of media coverage. But one thing that worries me is that I think that some of the decision makers that are planning the improved response, they sometimes get hooked up on technology issues that they don't really understand. And one of these is the use of SMS warning alerts. And I just thought it would be worth making comment now to remind people that there's a SMS is a particular technology that has particular behavior. In particular, it's not guaranteed delivery the way it's normally used. So you send an SMS, it might arrive at the recipient sometime in the next 3 days. Now, we all know that most of the time you send an SMS and the recipient gets it almost straight away.
But we all know from first-hand experience, if you send a Happy New Year message at 5 seconds past midnight on New Year's Day...
And that's exactly right. It you know, might get there sometime 2 or 3 hours later, or maybe 6 or 7 hours later, or the next day. Or you know, there's... Under times of heavy load, in particular, this is going to get worse. And under times when the network's under stress, like in a bushfire situation, there's going to be A, lots of phone calls going on, B, the network might lose the odd tower or two because the towers are on top of the hills where the bushfires go. So the remaining parts of the network that aren't damaged tend to get more load. The system's not going to work reliably. Now, some people have been talking about putting mobile phones on a register so that they know the mobile phones of the people who live in the area, and then using that register to send an alert to those mobile phones when when there's a bushfire on the way, or when it's time to leave, or whatever the urgent message might be. And this is absolutely the wrong approach. It will not work. It will fail. It will not achieve what people think it's going to achieve. The only way that SMS might be useful is if they actually modify the base stations so that you can originate the urgent message from the base stations and send it to any phone that happens to be connected to the base station at the time. This solves two problems. That means that the base station's originating the message, so it doesn't get caught up in the network delivery and get held up for 3 days. It also solves the problem that you're sending it to the people that are actually in the area, not just the people that are on the register. So you're not going to send a warning to somebody who's on holiday in Queensland at the time. You're not going to send a warning to someone who's, put their name on the register and moved out of the area 6 months ago. And you are going to send a warning to people who just happen to be in the area on that day and need to know, but aren't on the register. You've got to do it that way. Now, I understand that the technology might not quite be there and it might involve doing a lot of work, modifying base stations. You might have to modify the software that runs the base stations or something like that. Work with the telecommunications providers and the people that are making these decisions. Talk to someone who understands the technology at a nuts and bolts level, who can help you to make intelligent decisions about these things.
It certainly raises a lot of questions, this report, as it's been tabled, an interim report.
Yes. And it is only an interim report. There's a lot of things that aren't in it. But it's, yeah...
Here in the Southern Hemisphere, we're ending our winter. We're about to start spring again, which means our fire season for the next season is not far away.
70-something days, they're saying, is the start of the fire season officially.
We've got a lot of more of the same to look forward to, too, from what they're saying down here in our southern states. And, of course, as most of the country knows, it hasn't rained here for many years, which is testament by the level of water in our reservoirs. But let's get back to
the dryness of the environment. Yep.
Let's get back to the technology.
The technology is the thing that we can concentrate on. There's a lot of other issues that are going on around the place, but... our job at Tech Talk Radio is to provide information into the community about the technology. And technology isn't always the answer. In fact, in a lot of cases, in emergency situations, technology is not the answer. But if you are going to use technology, you've got to use it carefully, very, very carefully, and with understanding about how the technology works.
So, obviously, SMS has been, I think they call it a store and forward technology.
Yep.
That is, it'll hang on to it, as you were saying there before, Graham, before passing it on to the
devices. And if there's lots of other traffic going on, SMS is the last in the queue.
The one thing, though, about SMS, though, it is a fairly lean and mean technology. We're not using a lot of bandwidth. It's a short pulse of energy, and it gets its message out relatively simple and straightforward.
That's true.
So if you think about the other options that someone trapped in a situation might experience, obviously, you've got your fixed landlines, which potentially have melted and burnt down anyway, especially if it fires up the road.
But then again, so is the mobile phone tower. Is probably
but wouldn't you have more chance of having A, your power cut off, B, your fixed line cut off, and then potentially you're just relying on your mobile phone with batteries. That's really the last port of communication that you have.
And that's true. And that's why people are looking at this technology as a possible solution. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I think that's right. The mobile phones, particularly in Australia, have got massive coverage. It's almost impossible to find somebody who doesn't have a mobile phone. So there's obvious potential there to use it, but you've got to use it wisely.
So what's the solution? Like, in I know that's a I don't expect an answer to that question. It's out there for everyone to talk about.
Talk. Just make sure that when you are talking to people, and if you are if you're in a position where you can influence those who are making decisions, make sure that somewhere in the loop is a telecommunications technician, someone who understands how the technology works.
One interesting thing too, which I guess I'm going to put on my local farming hat because we're involved in a community which property. Is a little bit further north of where we are. The local Country Fire Authority has a UHF CB channel, which everyone in the area knows to listen to.
Yep.
Now, a broadcast on that, you know, you can get handheld CB units, you can get CB units for your car, you can get CB units for inside.
In fact, it's hard to find a CB unit that isn't designed to use in a car. You know, even your home CB unit is probably one that's designed to be used in a car and then been mounted up in another device, isn't it?
Mm, that's right.
So it's dead easy to hook up a 12-volt battery to make sure that that keeps running, like a car battery, to make sure that that keeps running when the power goes off.
So
and when the generator runs out of petrol.
So potentially what we need, or one of the things, and once again, this is purely speculative sort of discussion, but I would say the social networks are already in existence in a lot of respects, and it just potentially needs a little bit of local organisation on those channels. But I could be wrong.
Well, that depends on the community.
Networks are there now.
Yeah, some communities are really great with that, and some communities are not. Some communities are perhaps a bit younger. They've got a lot of people who have moved in a bit more recently who aren't in that mindset. They don't have the UHF CB. They don't have the mate who's been in the CFA for 20 years.
But don't you think after what happened in February the 7th that people may just change their way of thinking?
Well, you'd hope so.
Because it's them that's going to help. It's not you know, your neighbour's going to knock on your door and go, hey, guess what?
People need to change their way of thinking. Like, I've got nothing but sympathy for what's happened to the hundreds and hundreds of people in those fires. Mm. It was just a terrible situation. But it's maddening to think that, like, I know how much mainstream media publicity there was leading up to that day, saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is no fire threat and 10 is the maximum fire threat on this scale, the threat is 562 or something. There is, the state is going to be incinerated. There are going to be massive fires tomorrow. The wind is like nothing we have ever experienced before. The temperature will be at least 45 degrees Celsius. Mm. You must put your plans in now. If you're going to stay and defend your property, then you must be prepared to do that. If you're going to leave, you must leave now.
Changed their approach on that one, haven't
they? Well, they have, and people are still saying, but we weren't sure about what to do. We weren't sure if there was going to be threats or not. Well, look, it doesn't matter how much technology you put in place, people still have to use that technology. They have to use
it. But it's also a case, Dr. Ron, of using the technology in an intelligent way.
Well, yeah,
there's
that's
no
right.
good having your fire warnings being posted on a website. People in a fire area where the smoke in the air and the power's off, then they're going to be on the roof. They're going to be on the roof. They're not going to be looking at the fire warnings on the website. What you're going to have to do is crank that handle on the CFA warning siren. Forget the new technology. Forget digital anything.
No, you're right, because if the Royal Commission says all we need to introduce is SMS system, I can just see it now, and it's tragic and it's terrible to say, but there's going to be people sitting at home in their lounge rooms looking at their phone going, well, look, I can see the flames in the front yard here and my house
but
sounds like
it's
on fire. I haven't got a text message yet, so I'm not going to leave.
That's right.
Like, you're right, Graham. There are so many systems that have to come together to complement each other. You can't just rely on one system like SMS.
That's right. And there's another thing, too, that people have got to be aware of, and the push to get everything digital and everything everything online is not the answer for these sorts of situations. Okay, the website is not what people are looking at when they're on the roof with their hose trying to hose down the fire. They're with luck, what they've got is their battery powered radio. Okay. And odds are they're not even listening to the local FM station. Odds are that's been blotted out. Okay, the weather conditions are bad. The hill that the tower that the local FM station's transmitting on's been burnt. Odds are they're listening to 774 Melbourne if they're in Victoria. That transmitter in Melbourne, on less than 1 megahertz, old technology, 100-year-old AM radio technology, analog technology, not digital radio, is your best bet to get the message out to the state of Victoria. Everyone can hear it, even under bad conditions. Even if it's noisy, everyone can hear it.
And, now, and on top
to lose great assets like that, powerful analog AM low-tech transmissions that you can receive on a battery-powered radio while you're on the roof defending your house, that's the stuff you've got to keep. Pushing everything to digital, not the answer.
Look, I think there's a lot that this inquiry is going to dish up. One of the other interesting things too, which is probably not tech-related, but worth a mention, is that the categorisation of firestorms these days, like they do severe weather warnings, you know, Category 5 cyclones and all that. We know that that's over 230 km/h winds, and it's going to have pretty, you know, devastating effect. They're talking about bringing that sort of technology in or measurability in for a bushfire now, which I think is also puts it into a little bit of perspective. And this attitude of, oh, gentle, don't scare people, looks like it's going to be, you know, turned around and say, hey guys, don't move, you might die. You know, to put it in black and white like that, oh, that's serious. And then the other interesting thing too, just to paraphrase a lot of things today, is the kids. You know, if the children are involved, I think, you know, it should be a forced evacuation for kids or for people under whatever. Because and after all, imagine if you were a parent, imagine if you were a mum or a dad of young kids and something that you didn't expect happened. How could you live with yourself? That'd be terrible. Get the kids out early. Get them to say, as soon as you know that it's going to be a bad day. And that's what the Victorian government and the essential services did before. I think it was on the 6th. Remember that text they sent out? And it got everyone talking. Oh, did you get your text? Yeah, I did. You know, that's what they can do. If they say, you know, move people out there and then, well, great, do it well and truly before time.
It's a very delicate balancing act, though. You don't want people to get warning fatigue. If you get
half a dozen
of those messages every day, after the third or fourth day, people are going to go, oh, yeah, another text message, whatever. And then, you know, certainly they won't pay attention to a message like that.
And that's a big problem. You've got to be careful the way you use those.
But that's where Graham was saying before, the cell-based technology, if they can originate it at a cell for a local market.
Only target the people that really need to know at that exact moment.
One of the scary things that they said, they were going to use billing address databases to send SMS.
No. Think, people, please.
Anyway.
Use your brains. Now, listen, one last comment on this, and this is where technology does have a big role to play. If this isn't a topic that interests you, either from the technology point of view or from any other point of view, www.royalcommission.vic.gov.au. Okay,
that's where it all is.
All the information's there. You can read the interim report yourself, and you can find ways to have input into the process.